Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's radio, talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because we're going to be having sandwich giveaways from Urbane Cafe a little bit later in the show. Big shout out to our winners yesterday, Sam and Bunny, for winning the sandwiches and salads from Urbane Cafe. Your chance will be coming up shortly. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is alternative views. Each of my guests will discuss possible alternatives to our current economic situation. My first guest is a New York Times best-selling author who looks at today's economic situation and asks the question, is this planned? We'll examine his theory from his latest book, Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. My second guest takes a different approach. He looks at the future, what the future might be as our current economic situation plays out. We'll examine his future projection from his novel, 2019 Dystopia USA. My third guest embraces entrepreneurs and what they can do for our economy. She's examined an emerging type of entrepreneur, social or citizen entrepreneur, and we'll review her new breed of entrepreneurs that may save our flagging economy. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Jim Mars is an award-winning journalist and author. After graduating from the University of North Texas with a degree in journalism, Jim worked for and owned several Texas newspapers before becoming an independent journalist/author. Jim is the author of the New York Times bestsellers Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, the basis for Oliver Stone's movie JFK, and Rule by Secrecy. His in-depth overview of the UFO phenomenon, Alien Agenda, is his best-selling nonfiction book on UFOs in the world, having been translated into several foreign languages. He's a frequent guest on several nationwide talk shows and television programs. Welcome to the show, Jim. How are you today?
Hey, Billy, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you for being with us. I love to talk to thought leaders such as yourself, and you are a person who digs into the details. If I look at your book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How the New World Order, Man-Made Diseases, and Zombie Banks Are Destroying America, you can just tell by looking at the size and the depth of it that this is a well-researched book. So I'm going to start with fact or fantasy. That's the question that you ask in about the economic state of our country right now. And you contend that a sort of a secretive global elite set the wheels of the current economic situation in motion. You contend that it is a conspiracy. So lay out your case. Why would anyone want to bring on these conditions to the world that we're experiencing today?
Well, because they want to create what Adolf Hitler and George Herbert Walker Bush called the New World Order. They want to get away from the old world order, which are nation states, you know, and many of which, like the United States and Britain, are, you know, quasi-democracies. And is there a plot? Well, yes, there is. In fact, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, when questioned about the Great Depression of the 1930s, said, quote, yeah, you're right, we did it, we're very sorry. And then when he was asked what happened to the $14 trillion of our tax money that they sent overseas to prop up foreign banks, he was asked, where'd that money go, what banks got it, you know, and what did we get in return? He said, I don't know. And then later he said, well, I really can't tell you because Federal Reserve is a private enterprise. That's proprietary information. And that is true. The Federal Reserve is neither federal nor does it have any reserves. It is a collection of private banks owned by private banks, which in turn are owned by private banker investors, which many of which are not even Americans. And I think when we have to listen to the words of our forefathers, such as Thomas Jefferson, who said, quote, if the this was in a in during the debate over rechartering the private bank, the central bank, which has been a bone of contention since the founding of the Republic. He said, Thomas Jefferson said, quote, the American people ever allow private banks to control issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the private banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Now, Billy, there was there have been two U.S. presidents who have tried to issue interest-free money. That's money that, you know, we're not borrowing, that we just issue it as fiat money. That's money that we say, this is the money, you take this. And, of course, according to the Constitution, that should be backed by gold and silver. But, see, all this was done away with in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve System. And the way it works, basically, is that Congress authorizes more debt, like they just recently did. Then the Federal Reserve, these banks, print up all of this money, trillions of dollars, and then instead of simply charging us for the cost of printing up that money, they charge us the face amount of the money, trillions of dollars, and charge us interest on it. It's the biggest scam in the whole in history, probably. And this is our national debt, trying to pay interest on the money that we've borrowed. So two presidents tried to do away with this. President Abraham Lincoln issued the famous greenbacks to fund the war between the states. And in June of 1963, President John F. Kennedy issued $4.2 billion in currency, issued not through the interest-bearing Federal Reserve, but through the non-interest-gathering Treasury Department of the United States, and they were called United States Notes. And I don't think it was just a coincidence that both of those presidents were shot in the head in public.
All right. Well, that is an interesting theory, and it ties into one of your earlier books. We don't want to necessarily go in that direction. My guest is Jim Mars, author of the book Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. And, Jim, there was so much in that last answer, I'm not exactly sure where to go. So I'm going to change it up just a little bit for you, because one of the premises in your book about this new world order is that the new world order is coming in, and what they're able to do right now is socialize the costs and then privatize the profits at the exact same time so that it benefits them. Take us through that theory, because right now we're clearly seeing the socialized costs as we prop up huge corporations like General Motors, as we prop up every institution, including our own federal government. So walk us through how the New World Order is socializing costs and privatizing profits, because I think that's an interesting theory.
It is interesting, and basically what this means is that when the large banks, you know, get into trouble by, you know, issuing bad mortgages and by dabbling in speculative derivatives, then all the risk falls on us, the taxpayer, because if it works out, then they keep all the profits. And if it doesn't work out and they're about to go bust, then, well, we're too big to fail. And so they take taxpayer money to bail themselves out. This is not right, and this is not what free enterprise is supposed to be all about. What this is corporate socialism. Socialism is defined by as the people having the power of production and distribution. But then if you'll go and look at all the examples of socialism in history, like in the old Soviet Union, everything was done in the name of the people, but the people didn't really profit. All the money flowed into the hands of the top Communist Party leaders. All right. Well, today it's the same thing. We're instituting more and more socialist programs in the name of the people and trying to help the people, and yet the money's flowing into corporate pockets. The stimulus money that was supposed to flow into these banks, and they were supposed to loan more money and help people start businesses and thereby create more jobs, you know, that it didn't happen. That money flowed right in their pockets, and they just husbanded it, kept it there. Now it's tighter than ever to try to get a loan, and all that money went simply to pay off bailouts and parachute pension plans and fabulous party and junkets. This is nothing more than what Benito Mussolini called corporatism. And he used the term corporatism in the sense of this was a more correct term for fascism. Now, fascism, which was generally credited to Mussolini because of his black-shirted fascistas, and that goes back to the Roman word, the Latin word, fasces, which is symbolized, some of the listeners will remember, you see the axe, tied in a bundle of sticks. That was one of the symbols of the Roman. And you see that all over Washington as a symbol. That is a symbol of central authority. And but Mussolini himself said fascism, which by the dictionary definition means the blending of state and corporate power, is really not the right term. The more correct term is corporatism. And what we see is that in the 1930s, say in Germany, the Nazi state gained control over the corporations, and it was that blending of state corporate power that created Nazi fascism. Well, in modern America, the corporations have gained control over the state through their lobbying power and their money. But the end result's the same. We've got this blending of state and corporate power.
All right. My guest is Jim Mars, author of the book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. So, Jim, this was not just an overnight event. I mean, take me through some of the relevant dates, and I'll throw the dates out at you, that led us to where we are today. You mentioned at the outset, 1913, that's when the Federal Reserve was started. Then, of course, we had the policies of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the 1930s, where we created many of the institutions that we have today, including Social Security and some of the safety nets that we have along the way. In the 1970s, 1972 to be exact, the United States went off of the gold standard. Then in the 1980s, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were bolstered and became semi or quasi-governmental, quasi-private institutions that would be the backing for many of the mortgages that failed just recently. And then finally, was the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, and that was in 1999 under the Clinton administration, when then Secretary of Treasury Robert Rubin said, we no longer need Glass-Steagall. And all of those events lined up in such a way that nearly 100 years after the Federal Reserve was started in 1913, we had the great economic collapse of 2007. So connect the dots for my listeners. What do all of those things have in common? How did they all line up? And more importantly, how can this type of a conspiracy last over 100 years and nobody spill the beans?
Well, because to back into the answer, the way this thing can last for 100 years is because it is a plan laid down by what I call secret societies, and I'll qualify that. They're not truly secret. Some of them, and of course we're talking about the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and even the even more secretive Bilderberg Group. What these groups have in common is that the core leadership, you've got the very same families, and you've got the very same people. And it's this bloodline, this family bloodline that runs through all of this. And they're all connected to the Trilateral Commission, which back in the 70s was credited with putting Jimmy Carter into office, even in the mainstream media, was nothing but an offshoot of the older Council on Foreign Relations and its sister organization, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which takes care of the same financial issues in Britain. And then the inner core leadership of these two organizations meets with the royalty of Europe once a year in the name Bilderberger. They're so secretive they don't even have a proper name. They're just called Bilderberger because they were first discovered meeting back in the 50s at the Bilderberg Hotel in Holland. These people meet, set policy, reach consensus, and then, of course, they say they meet under armed guard and in secluded places with nobody can get in, and they issue no press releases. They won't even tell you who's a member. In fact, for years I was castigated as a conspiracy theorist because people, you know, certain leaders and certain news media pundits were claiming that these groups don't even exist. Well, now we know they exist, and now there is becoming more and more media attention and public spotlight put on them, and as well it should, because when these groups meet and they reach a consensus or they reach some sort of a agenda, all too often that agenda becomes official government policy. So these are people. Now, Billy, picture this. What if all of the owners of the National Football League teams met in a big hotel surrounded with armed guards? Nobody could get in, nobody could get out, and they met there for about a week, and then they came out. Wouldn't the news media go ballistic?
Sure they would.
Wouldn't they yell restraint of trade, you know, blah, 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 the collusion, you know, conspiracy? But here the leaders of industry and governments meet, and they get no press coverage. And there's a reason for that, too, because everything that we see and hear is now under the control of one of five corporations, multinational corporations that control everything. And I'm not just talking about news. I'm talking about music, movies, TV, cable, satellite, book publishing, magazines, billboards, you name it. Five corporations, and they have interlocking boards of directors, which means a handful of people controls everything that we see and hear.
Well, that brings us to the bigger question, and we've only got about a minute left, Jim, but tell us, what are some of the solutions to the current problems? You basically lay it out. There are three types of solutions that we have to go to: the soapbox, the ballot box, and the ammo box.
Yeah.
Give us those.
Okay, well, first, the soapbox. That's the right of free speech and a free investigative media. Hold your local media's feet to the fire. Demand that they cover Bilderberg meetings. Demand that they cover real news, news that affects you, and not just celebrity titillating sensational stories, okay? And then tell your neighbors, tell everybody, have the right of free speech, free assembly. You know, gee, it's called freedom. What a concept. And then go to the ballot box. Go vote for people. If you like the way the shape the country's in, then you go down and keep voting for the same old tools that you've been voting for in the past. And get away from the Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. Those are labels. Those are little niches that have been created by the media to keep you fighting amongst yourselves and keep from trying to point the finger at the people that are really trying to rule this country. So educate yourself, then go vote. And if that doesn't work, then I guess we're still left with the ammo box.
That is the constitutional right, the Second Amendment of our Constitution. Our guest has been Jim Marrs, author of the book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How the New World Order, Man-Made Diseases, and Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. Jim, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I would go to my website, oddly enough, jimmarrs.com. That's JIMMARRS.com. And I would ask restraint. Wait for about a week because I've got a brand new website coming up, and it's going to be really a dandy, and I think people are going to appreciate it. And you can even go back and look through all the archives and find stories as far back as 10 years ago, and you can find out what has led us to this precipice.
That is great. That's Jim Marrs, MARRS.com. Jim, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being our special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.
Take